This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
I'm glad you could be with us this morning, SB Nation AMs. How many of you were mesmerized, enthralled, captivated by the PGA Championship, the final round at Belrive in St. Louis? Tiger Woods put on a show, did he not? And it's funny because when you think about everything the golf people had been telling us in this gap that Tiger Woods had been absent from the sport, right? This gap. From about 2013, because he won five times in 2013. But from 2013 till, I don't know, yesterday, everyone was saying, oh, golf was in good hands with the youngsters, right? Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas and Patrick Reed. Just keep naming all the young golfers. Brooks Koepka, for that matter. Oh, golf was in good hands. Golf wasn't in good hands. What I saw yesterday and the excitement and the energy that I saw on Twitter, people around me, people were texting me, the comments, people. No, golf wasn't in good hands with the youngsters. I've never seen golf get this energized unless Tiger is winning, unless Tiger is performing, unless he is on top of the leaderboard winning. The country doesn't watch golf when Jordan Spieth is winning the Masters. It just doesn't. Golf people watch golf when Jordan Spieth is winning the Masters. But when Tiger is in the lead, it brings celebrities, it brings people that don't even know what golf is or how it's even played or what he's even trying to do. It brings in all of these groups. He is the great unifier of this sport. And there isn't anybody even close. And his product, his legacy, what he brought to the sport is who won the tournament in the first place, Brooks Koepka. He is responsible for the Rory McIlroys and the Jordan Spieths and the Patrick Reeds and their ability to just hammer home who they are and play their game. Koepka didn't blink at all. And why? Because he learned it from the best, and the best was right behind him in the tournament. We're going to be breaking this down about this weekend and all of the other things that went on in sports, but Tiger is the main story. Did you watch it? Did you enjoy it? How much were you pulling for him? Because it felt like everybody at that golf tournament was really disappointed that Brooks Koepka won his third major in the last seven. All right, we'll talk about that coming up. I am Tony D, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad you could be with us. SB Nation AM, 800-777-2907. So how captivating was the golf over the weekend, Ron? How much did you watch of the 18 holes that Tiger played?
At least 17 and a half.
Yeah, I did too. My daughter had a soccer game, and I was watching. I figured out I had to do this on the fly. I had to figure out how I could watch the golf live on my phone. I don't know how much data I ate up while I was at the soccer tournament, but I couldn't stop watching.
No, I'm right there with you. It was, there were moments where I had to watch it on my phone as well, and you just could not look away.
It was, and what was incredible about it was how many people, people at the soccer game, all buzzing about it, like talking about it. I wasn't the only one that was checking it on my phone. I wasn't the only one looking. When I got back, I was riveted to the seat. I mean, I could not stop watching this. And listen, I've said before, I'm not a huge golf. I mean, I play golf. I don't watch the regular tour. Like, I don't really watch the Greater Hartford Open or the other events on tour. But I will watch the majors. And I watch them because they're history and I like the sport enough to want to see a major thing happen in a major. So this was to watch Tiger play yesterday was it was an exercise in frustration and exhilaration because he couldn't hit a fairway to save his life. It was the most incredible thing watching him on every tee. They had that shot link, that shot tracer. Every time he got up, he would hit the ball, and that thing was heading either left or right almost immediately. I mean, almost immediately. And every guy, every announcer that was on course with him talking about it would say, oh, that's going way to the right. Or that's going, oh, that's going to be in trouble there. Oh, he's not. He didn't hit one fairway in the front nine and made and shot three under on the front nine. He didn't hit a fairway and shot three under. Now, people say if he had only hit some fairways, who knows how low the score would be. I don't know. If he had hit the fairways, maybe he would have just made pars. Maybe because he didn't hit the fairways, he made birdies. I don't know.
No, it sounded like, I mean, it was almost like he added an extra challenge to himself.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Maybe that was the best he was going to do, regardless of hitting fairways or not hitting fairways. And in the old days, this is the kind of buzz that would, like, people were talking about, like, well, you know, back in the day, Brooks Koepka would have collapsed. No, there was, Tigers never won a major from behind. So there would have been no, I have a lead and now I'm losing it to the Tiger roar. Tiger always dominated. The Tiger won majors, he dominated. Tiger won majors, he led. He never won from behind. So no one has ever had the, well, I had a three-shot lead, but then Tiger's roars got to me and I blew it. No one's ever said that because no one's ever done it. But Brooks Koepka, I mean, I can't imagine winning your second major of the year in the most unheralded fashion ever. I mean, nobody outside of his friends and family were rooting for him to win this thing. I mean, I'm surprised somebody didn't run and pick up his ball and throw it in the water. I mean, it was on the final hole. I had nobody was thrilled by this whatsoever.
Nobody could have ran his ball because he was on target. I mean, he was hitting
all
fairways. It was right down the middle every single time he came to play. He was in that zone. But I don't even know if all his friends and family were even rooting for him.
Yeah,
I think there's a part of everyone just going, you know what, let Tiger just win one. Let's get rid of this narrative of, you know, is he back? Is he not back? Is this happening? You know, now we got to wait until next year for when the majors come up. I know he probably cinched his place in the Ryder Cup, and we'll all be watching that. And, you know, there's a playoff, but I don't know. This is by far one of the best moments golf has had in a long, long time.
And as I said at the top of the hour, this is why people were wrong when they said golf was in good hands without him. They weren't. It was. I don't remember. Jordan Spieth. Let me tell you something. Jordan Spieth dominated the Masters when he won the Masters a couple of years ago. I mean, he dominated the Masters. He was 21 years old, and he put that course to shame. And then won the British U.S. Open the same year in an exhilarating fashion when Dustin Johnson three-putted, going for an eagle putt on the 18th hole at Chambers Bay. And won the U.S. Open. So he had two. He went to St. Andrews. Nothing. I mean, nothing like the buzz of Tiger trying to win this tournament yesterday. Nothing. I mean, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, I can name them. And they didn't come close to the kind of social media buzz and the national attention, world attention, that this was getting. When Tiger Woods, that scene at the end of his round, when he is walking up on that platform, and where I think he was going to the scorer's tent or whatever, and there is just a sea of people on the 18th green, and they are all cheering for him. And it is, I'm not kidding, an ocean of people that are at Belrive screaming for him. That's what golf needs. They're just not getting it from anybody else. There's just nobody else that charismatic. There's nobody else that's had his drama, his story, his arc, everything involved. This guy said it best at his press conference yesterday when he said, I did not think I was ever going to play golf again. How many dead and buried articles were there about Tiger Woods when he shot that 86 at Muirfield at Jack Nicklaus's tournament, when he was embarrassing himself at his own tournament a couple of years ago, when he could barely chip the ball? I mean, he was hitting the ball 3 feet in front of him. I mean, he just couldn't chip. He couldn't hit the shots. He couldn't do anything. He needed to get away. Then he went away. Then he was bedridden again. He had spinal fusion surgery, which to me sounds absolutely terrifying. Let me tell you something. If I had spinal fusion surgery, you would never see me twist my back at all. I would never twist my back and do anything. And he's ripping the golf ball and he's tearing it, just swinging the hell out of his golf clubs with a spine that's been fused together. It's unbelievable. It's unreal. But Brooks Koepka is a product of Woods. He's a product of the Woods era. When I listened to Tiger yesterday, he talked about Brooks Koepka's drives. He sounded exactly like every 40-year-old golfer at the Masters in 1997 when he said, it is hard to beat a guy who's bombing at 350 down the middle of the fairway. That's what everybody said about Tiger, minus a few yards, when he was at the Masters in 1997. Tiger's awe of Brooks Koepka's game was so reminiscent of what Tiger was. And that's the thing. But Brooks Koepka is not Tiger Woods. Brooks Koepka is not, didn't come with the complete package. Tiger lived up to every amount of hype that his father was preaching about all those years. The kid was on the Mike Douglas show at 5. Everything his father said about him was true. Everything his father said about him becoming like a world ambassador was true. The only thing that was off was he went overboard in 96. He talked about Tiger and his golf game being a world unifier and everybody, you know, he would be on that upper level of using golf for a greater good for the world. Tiger never did that. Tiger used golf for golf. Tiger used golf for Tiger, but he didn't change the globe. He didn't unite countries. He didn't use his celebrity to sort of end conflict. He didn't do that. His father thought he would be like a messiah in the world. He didn't go that far. But Tiger lived up to all the hype. Brooks Koepka played golf at Florida State, went on the European Tour to find his game, found his game, and now is a dominating player. But he's not on the same level. But just to hear Tiger at 41 years old talk about, here's a guy who's doing something I know I can't do now, and I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do that. I'm not hitting the ball 340. All right? I just, that's not going to happen to me. But if he keeps doing that, it's going to be very difficult to beat him at these tournaments. Because he's right. Look at the way the course was set up yesterday. Guys who were broadcasting, and I was flipping back and forth. I was watching on my DirecTV, I had the mix. So I was watching the regular broadcast, and then sometimes I would flip over to the Tiger-only broadcast, and they would show the course. They would show the hole, and they would say, it's 290 to clear this bunker, as if that was challenging to Brooks Koepka. I mean, he just went, pew, and he cleared it by a mile. He took the course and redesigned it, right? Whereas Tiger was hitting irons off tees because he knew, hey, my driver might reach that bunker. Or if I'm a little squirrely, I might. He couldn't hit the fairway with his irons, for crying out loud, off the tee. But it was mesmerizing to watch. Absolutely mesmerizing. And it was fun. And I hope this is stuff of, you know, that we see in the next couple of years. I hope he continues on down the road with this. I can't wait for the Masters in April, because I want to know when he's off and he's playing and he's practicing and he's getting his game back and his driver sort of tightens up, if he'll always be competitive at the Masters. That's a course that doesn't, you know, you don't have to be a 350 yard bomber like Brooks Koepka to win there. You can, you know, use your own strategy and to play there until you're 50. But it was, again, it was fantastic.
So is it safe to say Tiger is back?
Ah, yeah. Huh? Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, it was great, wasn't it? I mean, it was so depressing, though, when he hit that ball on 17 into the hazard. Because I kept thinking, 17's a par 5, man. If he gets down the fairway, if he can get on the green in 2, he makes a little run of a birdie, maybe posts a number, maybe Koepka will fall apart a little bit. Nah, he hits it in the hazard as to chip out. He's got a 5 iron, hits it in the bunker, makes par. When he makes birdie at 18, that place went nuts. It was great.
And so did he.
He went crazy at the fist pump excitement.
The fist pump, that was what we were all waiting for, is just that enthusiastic fist pump.
Yeah. I mean, he had putts that like didn't go in, like one rotation away from falling in the hole.
I thought for sure that one, he was going to. I mean, if had it been any other normal person, you get down on the ground and you blow.
Oh, right? Absolutely. Why didn't the crowd shake the earth to try to just see if they could just rumble the earth a little bit to get that in the cup? You got 10 seconds from the ball rests on the edge of the cup. Yeah, 10 seconds. The place should have been stomping their feet like wild just to see if they could knock that bad boy in. I doubt if it would work. I don't know anything about the physics of that. But anyway, I would have tried. That thing was tracking. Then he lipped out one. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But it was great to watch. But again, it's another thing. It just reminds you how much you miss it, like how much you miss him, because he's so compelling. But there's really just not that many other people that are compelling. For me, Phil Mickelson making a run at a major would be compelling, but not the young guys. The young guys will just go, all right, whatever. But Tiger, it was like...
No, we anointed Rory so quickly to be the next Tiger.
Oh, completely.
We don't even hear of him anymore. I mean, he's there. He's competitive, but, you know, we're trying to do the same thing with Jordan Spieth. We're trying to do the same thing with Ricky Fowler. And they're there, but they're not... It doesn't have that same magnetism that Tiger has.
It doesn't. And it you're absolutely right. And they, unfortunately, they're good golfers, and they're good spokesmen for the products that they endorse. They just do not draw in the eyeballs of people who don't care about golf. They don't draw in those people. They do not. There were so many people yesterday watching this that don't watch golf, but only watched it because Tiger was in it. If Tiger wasn't in it, they wouldn't watch 1 second of that broadcast. And that's just the truth. And nobody in golf does that. Not Rory, not Jordan, nobody. Nobody but Tiger. And that's why the sport needs him. All right, 800-777-2907. I do have another thought on that I want to get to. We'll get to some of the news and notes from the NFL as they wrapped up week one in preseason, including what happened in Denver on Saturday night. Egads. That is also coming up as we roll along on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You think about Tiger Woods, though, this weekend. And by the way, Brooks Koepka, they were talking about how there was so much fan apathy for his victory. And he kind of, you know, he dealt with it. But the reality of it is, if you're Brooks Koepka, you don't take it personally. It didn't matter who it was, if they were on the verge of winning the PGA Championship, was not going to get that kind of love from the crowd because of what Tiger did. I mean, it's just, Brooks Koepka is a great champion, but he's not what people wanted to see. But I started thinking about Woods in this regard. I mean, Tiger Woods may go down in history, as not the best player who to have ever played. Like, Jack Nicklaus may still own that. I mean, Tiger Woods' major championships came in a really great period of time, but after 31, they pretty much disappeared. So he may not go down as the best ever if you want to talk about just from a major standpoint or whatever that still might belong to Jack Nicklaus. But the reality of it is that he is golf. I mean, his presence changes the game. His presence changes the perception of golf. And you think about that with other athletes and other sports, right? I mean, if you look at, you know, baseball, for example, you know, you can talk about Babe Ruth and whatnot, but, you know, Jackie Robinson is a major player in golf, a major historical figure in golf for breaking the color barrier. He's not the greatest player to have ever played. And Tiger may not get that. Now, some people will say that because if you really looked at the era of Tiger from about 99 in, I mean, the 97 Masters was fantastic, and then he sort of took a break to rebuild his swing. But from 99 to 2008, there was nothing like the hurricane that was Tiger Woods. But then it just ended. I mean, then it just stopped. He lost the 2009 PGA Championship to Y.E. Yang. He got in that altercation with his wife Thanksgiving week, and then it was all downhill from there. He was never, he made a few runs at majors, but that was really it. Then he had the injury. Then all of a sudden he was going to, you know, the sex therapy, sessions. And I mean, it just was a roller coaster. And there was a time not that long ago where people wondering how the crowds would react to him because of the infidelity. And he had the cell phone situation, and he was Perkins waitresses and all that other stuff. But the reality of it is that he was the face of golf. And right now he is golf, even though this is a comeback story, right? Over the last two majors, from the British Open to the PGA, this is a comeback story. It's like Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy and them have just borrowed the game for a minute, and then he takes it right back. So despite not winning the British Open at Carnoustie last month or the PGA Championship yesterday, he still becomes golf. When you think about that with other athletes, right? You think about who is really the face of the NFL. It's hard to peg, right? It's who's the face of the NBA. Well, it's LeBron, right? But you're ranking the, is it Michael or is it LeBron? I mean, who's the best ever? I mean, is it Bill Russell? I mean, all these arguments, but right now the NBA belongs to LeBron and golf belongs to Tiger. And it, and it, and it feels good that it is. And if I'm golf, if I'm the PGA, I'm very thankful for that. If I'm CBS, I'm very thankful for that. Because unless he hurts his back again or something happens, now we've got the numbers again. We've got the interest again. We've got just go to any site and see how many people are writing about what happened yesterday to a guy who didn't even win the tournament. Because he transfers himself beyond the sport, unlike anybody else. It's very LeBron-like in that LeBron does, you know, plays in the NBA, plays in the NBA playoffs, but then has the school. He's making noise off the court. Like it's different from the standpoint of Tiger drawing eyeballs to a sport, whereas LeBron draws eyeballs to the sport, but the sport already has pretty good numbers. Golf needed a kick a little bit more, and Tiger is able to do that again. And that's what happened yesterday. But it was great. It was really, really great to watch. I'll tell you this, it was fun. It was really fun to watch a golf tournament like that where you really were pulling for somebody. And he was just pulling off shot after shot. He was hitting it off, out of a corner with a 9-iron and a wrap hook around a tree to five or 6 feet. I mean, those were the kind of shots we kind of saw him do in his younger years. Tiger in his younger years was so dominant. People were wondering if people were going to get bored. Right? Like early, in 2000 when he was doing the Tiger Slam, people were wondering, are people going to be into this if he's winning by 6 or 7 shots? And the numbers weren't saying anything different. Like people were watching on Sunday just to see how many more he could win by. The British Open at St. Andrews or the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach when he was really, really knocking everybody out. The Bob May battle in Louisville back in 2000. He had the part two of a Tiger Slam in 2002, winning the Masters, and then Bethpage. And people were wondering, how much Tiger can people take? And they never wanted to give it away. They never wanted to lose it. People never got bored with him winning. The ratings were always consistently good for a sport that was kind of hovering and had its own audience and its own sponsors, and then Tiger took it to another level. So again, Brooks Koepka is a fine champion and winning 3 out of 7. But it's ho-hum compared to what Tiger was pulling off. And he's carrying a sport again. I don't even know if he wants to. I mean, I think at 41, like yesterday in the press conference, I found it so revealing how many times he was talking about his kids, talking about how they don't care, they're worried about going to school. He's so different now at 41 years old. And you expect that. If you're still talking like you're 23 at 41, you're not learning things. And Tiger, he was talking, it's just a different way he's talking about stuff. He's more appreciative of where he is. And I think he's come to the realization that he may never catch Jack Nicklaus. We have no idea if Tiger was, people will have their guesses as to whether or not he'll win another major or two. I mean, I believe he will. I'm like a lot of people. I think it is just a matter of time. But I don't know, because I don't know anything about a fused back. I mean, what if it goes out at Christmas time? What if he tweaks it on a boat? What if he jet skis and he gets in an accident? I have no idea. So those pushed aside, and just from the golf that we saw at the British Open last month and in the PGA yesterday, those two things, oh yeah, absolutely he's going to win another one. Of course. Why wouldn't he? I mean, two of the majors will suit his game even as he approaches 50. The Masters and the British Open. Because the British Open is the one where if you have a stinger, if you have that low shot, if you have control of your golf ball flight, meaning you don't hit it high in the air to get to the wind, and you're able to control it almost from the ground level, which Tiger does very, very well, you can be competitive at the British Open in your 50s. Now, the U.S. Open, as you get older, that gets tough. You need some length. You need some power to get out of the rough. When you get in the rough, not really suitable for a 48-year-old guy, 46-year-old guy. You can certainly win it. PGA, when they go low like that, of course. So he's definitely on that level. All right, some thoughts from the weekend in the NFL. What is going on in Denver? And are they really now going, we got some problems with that offense? It's only preseason, but you know people are just losing their minds. Next, SB Nation.
Now, back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, if you need auto parts but can't get to the store just yet, head to O'ReillyAuto.com. You can buy your parts online, pick them up at any of the 5,000 O'Reilly Auto Parts stores nationwide. No shipping costs, easy returns, and convenient pickup on your schedule. Shop your way for your parts that you need at O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so Ron and I on Friday were telling people, hey, slow down. It's preseason. I know people get a little excited, a little emotional. It's football. You haven't seen your team in a while. They made some moves in the offseason. There's some mini camps. There's training camps. And then you kind of see a little dress rehearsal. And so people know that going into these games, but you can't help sometimes get a little worried when your team's falling apart or doesn't look too well, or get overly excited when they look fantastic. So the Denver Broncos on Saturday were playing the Minnesota Vikings, and the first team offense, that is led by Case Keenum, ended up with two punts and a total of 9 yards. Now, I know, look, I get it. Slow down. It's not falling apart just yet. But Paxton Lynch looked terrible. And I want to bring up something that I know is, I think I brought up before, but Ron, it feels like it's going to be sacrilegious if you live in the Mile High City. But how come John Elway can't figure out the quarterback position in Denver outside of Peyton Manning?
That was kind of funny.
I can't figure this out from John Elway's perspective. Look, I've said this. I do not think John Elway was a massive genius signing one of the better quarterbacks in the game, despite the fact that he was coming off a neck injury and didn't play the previous year. I think most teams that could have afforded Peyton Manning would have made a run, and many teams did. So I don't think John Elway was... Oh, he was a gambling man, took a chance on Manning, and look, it paid off. No, the Titans in Nashville were ready to give the franchise over to Manning. Are you kidding me? They offered him, Bud Adams offered Peyton Manning a job for life if he had accepted a position. In fact, people in Nashville were so confident, it was reported that he was going to sign with the Titans before he ended up signing with Denver. So John Elway doesn't get credit for that at all. But Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, I mean, he can't find his guy. He can't find his guy. Now, Case Keenum has got people in Denver going, I don't know yet. We'll see. I don't know. I'm not happy. I'm not thrilled. I'm not sad. We'll see. Is that what this guy is bringing to Denver? A quarterback where there's a big press conference and there's a big hold up a jersey type of moment and everyone in Denver is like, Because they don't know.
Not only
they
that,
don't know.
But they were also ready to give Brock Osweiler a huge, huge contract.
Oh, yes. That's another thing. Yes. People.
He was ready to be the franchise quarterback had Texans not come in and, you know, it was like a couple million dollars more and stole him away from Denver.
I love Elway, man, but I don't think he's gauging the position he knows well. And I don't know if it's because he wants to see certain things that he can't, or I don't know, but I don't understand how you can go like 0-for-4 in evaluating quarterbacks and not find one. And here's the thing. He gets the benefit of the doubt. Just go back to the tape of all the games that Osweiler played particularly well or Trevor Siemian looked good occasionally. And every announcer jumps to the, well, if there's somebody who knows quarterbacks, it's certainly John Elway. And he saw something in this kid. No, he didn't. He didn't see anything in that kid. All right? Those guys aren't on the team anymore. Or they're not going to play. That's it. I mean, even people in Memphis, when Paxton Lynch got drafted, went, oh, really? Wow, okay, that's a bonus. I'm serious. And Lynch was great there. But this has not worked. He has not been able to find his guy.
No, I think what it is, you know, like you said, I mean, we're giving him credit to, you know, I guess being a quarterback evaluator. I don't think he knows quarterback talent.
Yeah, and, I don't either. Yeah,
but
exactly.
He himself was the ultimate competitor. He knew what it took to win a game. And I'm not saying he wasn't a great quarterback. He was. But I think deep down inside, he knew what it took to win a game, which it's hard to evaluate that, evaluate the heart of someone. I mean, you can kind of see glimpses of it, but if they don't have that heart matching up with the talent, they're you know, again, I think we're giving him too much of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be frustrating from the standpoint of if you know the NFL and you know how teams are put together, right? We don't have, other than the Patriots, because they have found a system that they can plug and play. When you have a good unit of something, and I don't care what that is, if you have a good offensive unit or a good defensive unit, you are on borrowed time. You know that pretty much if you have a collection of talent that is working well together, how long does that really last in the league? You're not getting a decade of excellence from your defense if you've got a bunch of stars all competing. Somebody's going to want to get paid. Somebody's going to want to leave. They're not going to be able to afford everybody. And somehow that's going to get broken up. You might get 4, 5, 6 years out of the deal, but eventually that's going to be broken up. And the Broncos have at least had a really good defense. I mean, last year they were actually kind of middle of the pack in terms of giving up points. But the reason is their offense was really inept, right? They still have really good playmakers on defense. This year, if Case Keenum can't move this team and they go another 5-11 or 6-10, I wonder how many people in Denver, because it's going to be very, very hard to do if they say, gee, I kind of expect more, John, if you could just give me some more. I always thought the hiring of John Elway was so perfect for what was going on with that franchise back in 2010. Because in 2010, Josh McDaniels was literally pouring gasoline on the franchise and lighting it on fire. I mean, literally, I mean, they went to London. They got accused of cheating in London. I mean, the Bill Belichick protege got accused of cheating in London. The team gave up close to 60 points against the Raiders at home. It was completely falling apart. Absolutely falling apart. And they were en route to, I think, a 4-12 year that year. And they hired Elway to run it. And you couldn't ask for a better scenario for that organization at that time, because they were bringing in a guy that is so beloved in that town that he bought himself plenty of time to either make a mistake or take a while to try to build it back up again. You're not going to criticize Elway. I remember when I was doing shows in Denver, I remember telling people, because Tebow was winning games, but he didn't look good doing it, right? They were winning games kind of at the seat of their pants and kind of in the last minute, and he'd play terrible until the final, like, 2 minutes of the game. And I remember asking people, I would say, look, if this team makes the playoffs with Tim Tebow and they win a game or two, if John Elway comes to you at the end of the season as a fan base and says, trust me, I know quarterbacks, he's not our guy, but I'll find you the guy, would you believe him? Would you just trust him? Now, luckily, they never had to do that, because the guy he got to replace Tim Tebow was Peyton Manning. But imagine if John Elway got rid of Tebow and then said, trust me, I have a draft pick. I've got a rookie in the draft. Trust me, he's going to be better than what you're seeing on the field. Imagine if that disaster took place, because right now there's no evidence that John would have been able to do that. There's no evidence that John would have been able to find a diamond in the rough. He got Peyton Manning. He convinced Manning to come play for Denver, and for that, all the credit in the world. But since then, he can't find anybody that can play this position well enough to maximize the defensive effort that they're putting out there as a team. He can't find one guy. And that's amazing to me. That's mind-boggling to me, to be honest with you. It's like he's just striking out at the position he knows. And it's too bad, too, because to see the wasted effort that they've got on the defensive side, to me, is sad. It's terrible, because they're not going to be able to put points on the board. And I don't know, maybe Case Keenum, maybe this is just preseason nonsense. But oh my God, you should have, I mean, some of the responses from people in Denver were like, oh my God, like throw the whole thing out and let's start all over again. I mean, it was a sad night to see an offense that moved nowhere in two series, 2 punts, 9 yards, and people lose their mind over a preseason performance. But it's not losing their mind over a preseason performance. You know what they're losing their mind? They're going nuts because it looks like the same thing. And that's where you get frustration. If you've been told that things will look different and then they don't immediately look different, the natural, I think, human reaction is to be disappointed. Even though you know in the back of your mind, this is ridiculous. This is preseason. Stop. Work with the team some more. Ridiculous. Just go into regular season and see what happens. When there's 60 minutes on the clock, when there's more series to work things out, things will change. Two series and two punts, that happens in regular season games all the time to the best offenses. But people in Denver looked at that and said, oh my God, it's the same stuff every year since Manning's left. We haven't found the guy. And Ron, you're 100% correct. He was given credit by people as like, well, he let Brock Osweiler walk. He really knew what Brock Osweiler... No, he didn't! He offered him a boatload of money to be the franchise quarterback. It just Houston offered him more. It's amazing. It's amazing how people spin based on their love affair with a guy who won two Super Bowls and had the team, you know, rolling in the 80s. It's amazing. I mean, I guess we all do that to some extent. I mean, I guess we all have our heroes that we don't want to see chopped down a little bit in their second or third or fourth career move. I mean, Elway owned car dealerships, was successful at that. He gave them an arena football championship in the Colorado Crush. And I used to go to Crush games. They're fun. They were a blast. I went one time, Ron, I went one time just to see the Grambling Marching Band. They were in town.
Now that's dedication.
Yeah, I had wanted to see the Grambling Marching Band, one of the greatest marching bands in the world. And they were on a tour, and they were playing at halftime of the Colorado Crush game. And I actually went and said, I'm going to this game just to see the Grambling Marching Band. And I actually liked the arena football. The arena football was fun, but the marching band was great. Here was watching that arena football. I was kind of disappointed that I didn't catch on to it earlier because it was really fun. It was one of those events where I walked away going, man, that's really neat. I didn't take it seriously. And then I realized it was kind of neat. It was kind of fun.
So when should a Bronco fan really be hitting the panic button? I mean,
I don't know, week two or three?
Regular season, maybe, right? Not preseason.
Not preseason. But they're like I said, they're doing it because they're worried. Like, this is just going to be the same old stuff.
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, you know, kind of top my Chargers.
Keep rolling. What's that game a couple of years ago in the playoffs where the Chargers, they played Denver really well with Manning, of course, and they couldn't convert on a fourth down or something, or they came up short on a fourth down near the end of the game? And
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've blocked out all things of that matter.
I remember thinking if anybody was going to give the Broncos really a pain in the postseason, it was going to be San Diego at the time. Because they really played Denver well during the regular season. They beat them in the regular season at home. I remember Rivers wearing like cowboy boots to the press conference and stuff. These little things I remember about certain games. Cowboy boots and a bowl of tie. That's all I remember Phillip Rivers wearing the night they beat the Broncos at Mile High. But man, those were good times in that division. That was good times. Now the Broncos are the doormat. I don't want them to be the doormat. I want that division to be competitive. I want that division to be competitive across. There's a division that is for the Chargers, it's kind of there for the taking, right? Let's be honest.
It has to be because the Raiders... It feels like the Raiders are in rebuild mode yet again.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not high on them.
And Kansas City definitely is in rebuild mode.
Yeah, they got a quarterback that they're handing the reins to that's going to need a little work and a little growth. The Broncos stink. And now here's the opening for the Chargers.
Yeah, but the Chargers will stick to their MO, lose like the first seven games, and then turn it on.
And then have to win the last eight, and they do.
Yep.
All right, 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, or at Ron Culver. And that is Ron with two N's on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you can be with us, SB Nation AM. So Tiger comes in second of the PGA Championship. Brooks Koepka is the winner. By the way, CBS did a really, really good job of then, once Tiger was out, going, oh, wait, wait, wait. Oh, there is a war. There's a champion over here we better start paying attention to. He's actually doing quite well. We better not go. We better not rain on his parade. But reality is they gave you what you wanted, which was big old Tiger Woods playing pretty good golf down the stretch. But Brooks Koepka, I mean, golly, give the kid credit, because the whole course is screaming for Woods, and he's just like, nah, down the middle. Nah, I'll make my putts. I'll make some birdies. I'll finish off this round. That is, again, as I was saying earlier, that is the Tiger Woods effect. Guys would have crumbled down the stretch if that had ever happened. But these kids are all, they're all tight. They're all tough. They all know that this is how you got to play the game of golf. When Tiger Woods is, you know, aura was going on when they were growing up, that's the way you conduct yourself. He inspired.
It's almost as if this should be considered one of the great major wins.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because of the fact that, I mean, you know, he's page two news. Tiger almost did. Oh, by the way, Brooks Koepka won.
God, I was trying to think about that, like, if there was another, remember like Jimmy Connors? It's not quite like Jimmy Connors. Remember Jimmy Connors, like the early 90s? He was like 38 years old. I don't even know who won that U.S. Open back then. When he was making his run? Yeah. It was Jimmy Connors. He was like, give the people what they want. I don't even know who won. Was it like Jim Courier or Andre Agassi? I don't even know.
Probably Federer.
Yeah, probably Federer. It was very similar to that. Like, people cared about that story. That was more interesting to them than actually who won.